The joke is that Nevada's representative was drunk, said Pellegrino, who was born in 1983, when the state's population was barely 900,000. It's now more than 3 million and receives tens of millions of tourists a year. The small water allocation will shrink by 21,000 acre-feet with the new cuts, although Nevada has made impressive strides in keeping below its low cap, slashing its water use despite the population nearly doubling since the early 2000s. Colby Pellegrino is confident that further savings can be made and scrutiny is being placed upon the water used in Las Vegas's casinos' ubiquitous cooling systems. But global heating impact upon the West's snowpack and rivers is unrelenting, and the city's water savings will only go so far. Las Vegas only has a supporting role in its own fate. Three-quarters of allocated Colorado River water is used to irrigate thirsty agriculture, and the overall water supply is more dependent upon the amount of snow melting hundreds of miles away in the Rocky Mountains than some extra marginal savings made in the suburbs. Las Vegas has done great things such as ripping out the grass, but we've lost 20% of the flow of the Colorado River since 2000, and another 10% loss by 2050 is completely possible, said Brad Udall, a water and climate scientist at Colorado State University, whose research has focused on the stresses facing the Colorado River. I worry it could be even more than that, and that should frighten everyone. Back in Summerlin, Perry Kay is also relentless. A house opposite the first offender has broken sprinklers splurging water into the puddles on the grass and road. Perry Kay bangs on the ornate door to inform the homeowner, but no one is in. These sprinklers haven't popped up properly, they're just oozing everywhere, muttered Perry Kay. He has been policing water waste for the past 16 years, issuing countless fines in that time. I had hoped I would have worked myself out of a job by now, but it looks like I will retire first.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Thank you. IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm your humble host, Muzaffar Haider. Here in the studio today, we have with us Sayyid Mahdi and Sheikh Ali. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, Iranian elections. We're living in exciting times.
Very.
We have a new president sworn in, alhamdulillah. Has he sworn in yet?
No, not yet. August.
August, okay. Oh, wow, okay.
Yes.
So, we've got these new elections. You know, he's won by a landslide. And despite all, you know, the coronavirus and everything and all the difficulties, the propaganda as well, which we're going to talk about, inshallah, he still won by a landslide against all the other opponents, which is fantastic, alhamdulillah. I was wondering, you know, about this Western propaganda, what are they doing and why?
Well, thanks for the opportunity. It's an important and interesting topic to analyze, to discuss, and I think we would invite all our listeners to think strategically, think bigger than just reading news and coming to conclusions. One of the things that's happening is like the enemy wants to and has been wanting to since the inception of the Islamic Republic and this Islamic system, they've been trying to prove that it's some sort of a dictatorship, some sort of a, you know, a monarchy, you know, a religious...
And they've been trying this all the way back since Imam Khomeini's time.
Right. And why are they trying to do this? Because they are attempting to and have been attempting to discredit the system, right? While there are other dictatorships, like the real dictatorships, where the people have zero say in what type of system they have, who rules them, what type of management they have, what happens with their resources.
Oh, but they're the best of buddies.
Exactly.
They never
get brought up, right?
Right.
Why
right.
Islamic Republic of Iran is the target of the Western media, of the West? It is because this system creates hurdles for the West to be able to accomplish their goals, their whims and wishes, which are to their benefit only and not for the benefit of the people of this region.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, especially when it comes to Iran, Iran has been opposing and exposing Western governments, and especially the United States of America, Britain, Germany, France, you know, and especially something that is not a government, an illegal entity, the Zionist regime of Israel. Iran has been busy exposing their plots in the region. Right, how they're manipulating the population, how they are taking control of the entire region, and what their evil plans are. This is why they hate Iran.
And promoting a culture of active resistance against the hegemonic power.
And it has worked. Mm. You know, above everything, it has worked.
Right.
So now their propaganda is at its peak, right? They want to prove that, okay, you know, this is a mullah dictatorship. You've seen all those, you know, verbiage that they use, that filthy verbiage that they try to use in the so-called mainstream media to change people's perception and perspective of what Iran really is. Iran, on the other hand, alhamdulillah, it has been a successful model where not only the management of the country, starting from the Wali al-Faqih down to, like, you know, the local representatives of the people, they are elected or selected or supported by the people. That's one strength of this divine system. The other thing is that people are not ready to take any other system other than the Islamic system of Wilayat al-Faqih. So these two things are, they've become like a thorn in the eye of the enemy.
Yeah, I mean, on
right?
the one side, these guys are opposing us, and on the other side, they're popular.
Yeah.
That it's okay if you can can oppose us all you want as long as you're unpopular.
Yeah.
But as soon as you're popular, that's just,
you know, Imam Khomeini,
line,
once, Imam Khamenei rather, he once said, he said that their attacks are not on me as a person, you know. Their attacks are at all of us. That includes me, and that includes you, and other officials, and the country itself, government, and our systems, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is actually a message that I wish Muslims generally would understand. It's not an attack on Muslim, a particular Muslim. It's not an attack on that version of Islam or this version of Islam. It's an attack on all of us as an ummah. Right. I want to come back to you, Sheikh Ali, but Sayyid Mahdi, you're a person who reads the news. You're often looking at the updates and you're researching. So I'd like to ask you, what kind of propaganda are these predominantly Western entities spewing out?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, I mean, I don't pay that much attention to the news, but yeah, I go through the news. It's good for everybody to read the news, stay up to date on current events, make sure they know what's going on in the geopolitical, socio-political arena. It's an integral and critical part of being a human being, and especially it's something that is emphasized in Islam, right, is that you should know what's going on, not just with the other Muslims across the world, but, you know, what's going on in the world in general. Mm-hmm. And so with that in mind, you know, it's good to read the news. Be careful what news you read, of course. Not all sources are trustworthy sources. Be careful where you're getting your news from. And definitely be careful of mass media and these guys
as
well.
Of course, but then when it comes to the elections particularly, what are the kinds of slogans?
Yeah, so when it comes to the elections, you will find that there has been a very severe attack on the personality of the president-elect, Sayyid Raisi, Ibrahim Raisi. And a lot of different things have come out about him. If you do, again, a little bit of research, you will find that a lot of it, if not all of it, is false. It is not just
like
propaganda,
kind of stuff,
it's
though?
Lies. So again, right, so there's a lot of propaganda against the persona of Ibrahim Raisi. And, of course, the propaganda is there in order to, make him look like a bad guy. Now, why do they want him to look like a bad guy? Because, interestingly, all of the achievements and accomplishments and the line that Sayyid Ibrahim Raisi has taken up to this point in his life is a revolutionary stance. It is the stance of the Islamic Revolution. It is a stance which follows the path of Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Muslim Ummah. And also it is a stance that follows, of course, the founding father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini. And so because the enemies of Islam, enemies of humanity, the enemies of common sense, if you want to say, they have seen that this individual is walking the path of Imam Khamenei. He is walking the path of Imam Khomeini, and it is because of his walking on this path that they are coming up with these vicious lies against this individual.
Sheikh Ali, back to you.
So when you look at the president-elect Ayatollah Raisi, right, he won by a landslide victory, right? So this is like one of the things that gives us a few messages. One of the messages is that people, since the entire Iran at least, and of course the enemies, they know him. People know that he's revolutionary. He's committed to Islam. He's committed to the betterment of the people of this region, not only in Iran, while he has mostly to do, other than the foreign policy, he has to do with Iran, right? But they know that he's sincere, he's honest, he's been in judiciary where they have seen him deliver, right? Where they have seen him perform, where they have seen him make improvements, and also, like, you know, break many mafias that exist or existed in Iran. So now they're like, okay, he has won. What do we do about it, right? This is the voice of the people. The people elected him. The people voted for him. The people came out while there was coronavirus going on. You know, everybody is, even the elderly, you know, since they're more vulnerable, they saw it to be their responsibility to come out and decide their own fate by electing Sayyid Raisi. Now the enemy is baffled. They're like, okay, it's people's choice, people's voice. People of Iran has elected him, and he has won by landslide, right? So it's not like you can say, oh, it was like, you know, just 1,000 votes away from, you know, the other guy, you know, who is subservient to the West.
As often is the case in other countries.
So now they're like, okay, what do we do? This is where the propaganda comes in. Remember, Sayyid Raisi has a lot of enemies, right? Not only the West, even internally, if you look at, let's assume that you are a judge, and you end up breaking these mafias who are corrupt. Right? And they're running their show, they're just stealing money and looting the wealth of the country, and you, being that chief justice, right, you decide against them. right? You penalize them, you throw them in jails, for instance.
You're
right?
going to create lots of enemies.
In other words, you implement justice, right? Implementing justice. We know from the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
That's
from
what
the,
he reminded me of, right? As well. Yeah.
You implement justice, you're going to make enemies. This is what he's facing. He has all those big mafias and all those big, huge, resourceful cults that don't like him.
Mm.
So, of course, you're going to have this propaganda, right?
Right.
On one hand, we have West, who are doing it for the ideological reasons, right? They want to show that the Islamic Republic is, you know, a hoax, you know, people don't support the
Sheikh
system.
Ali, let's be honest. They do this every time, don't they?
In terms of Iran, yes, they do it all the time. This is something that has been high on their agenda. And I would say, like, in some sense, they've been successful because our media is weak. Because we're not reaching out to people. They don't know the facts. People don't know Farsi. Mm. People don't know Persian. When they go out to read news, like Sayyid, right, where do they go? Alhamdulillah, he knows Farsi, so he can compare and contrast. But average people around the world, all they have is like BBC, Fox, and CNN, and Voice of America, which are nothing but propaganda, right?
Nothing but
even their underlying messages, even their subtle messages, you know, the choice of words that they have,
right.
It's all, you know, you can see if you're a bit smart, you can see how they're trying to fool the masses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sayyid Raisi is the popular president that Iran has now. And the best thing is the population of Iran is not only expecting results from him, they're also supporting him.
Mm.
You know, sometimes it is like, you know, you sit on the sidelines and you sit on the fence and you go like, well, you're the president now, just deliver. You know, we're just sitting here watching and waiting. No, Iranians are different. This nation is different. They are ready to support Sayyid Raisi in every way possible,
and
right?
And help him, like...
And one of the examples of that would be, you know how the leader, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he keeps saying that we need economy of resistance, right?
Right.
We need to grow this internal growth of businesses and factories and stuff.
Right.
People are ready to invest, provided they're given the right platform and opportunity, which Sayyid Raisi is, inshallah, going
to
provide.
Right.
People are
inshallah.
Ready to invest in businesses, in local businesses, in domestic capabilities, and using those capabilities to grow
self-reliance
the Islamic system.
And not depending on other countries, especially the Western powers.
If you look at another strength that Sayyid Raisi has is, after he won the elections, you look at, and the leader has brought up this point, you look at America, what happened? Trump lost, and then what happened? It was a fiasco, right? It was a chaos, right?
Mm-hmm.
You saw, like, all the protests that took place and so on and so forth, right? Just this recent episode. We can go in the history and dissect it, too, but just take this recent episode. In Iran, you know what transpired, which the media does not put forth, is that the previous president, Rouhani, he congratulated Sayyid Raisi. They sat down, they had meetings. After his party has lost at the hands of Sayyid Raisi, they sit down, they discuss the future of the country. Where have you seen this happen?
And
normally, if one party wins, the other party is like, you know, protesting, and they're saying, oh, the elections are,
this,
you know,
this idea of working together, this united front, it's a beautiful thing. I want to discuss it more, inshallah, perhaps in future episodes. For now, we've run out of time. We hope that you benefited from the show, inshallah. From myself, from Sayyid Mahdi, and from Sheikh Ali, we bid you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. You can log on to our website at parstoday.com, and you can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, goodbye.
A symphony of nature. Oh, it's taking my breath away. I'm so blessed out here today, yeah, Allah.
food for thought. Hello, dear listeners, and let us reflect upon what the Prophet's ninth infallible successor, Imam Muhammad al-Taghi al-Jawad, peace be upon him, has said about what God revealed to one of the prophets for the guidance of mankind. Your asceticism will give you comfort. Your devotion to me will endear you to me. But did you avoid my enemies and cherish my devotees?
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
A herd of elephants migrating in China have been making headlines for months. Now they have once again attracted attention. Experts monitoring the animals this week noticed two females engaged in a dramatic fight over the herd's leadership, where they kicked and bit each other. The tussle soon ended after a male elephant succeeded in calming the belligerent giants. The fight happened in China's southwestern province of Yunnan. The herd embarked on a lengthy journey last year after escaping a nature reserve and has since trekked hundreds of miles. The elephant's migration is the longest one in China's history. Four German tightrope walkers have set a new world highlining distance record by crossing an Arctic valley in Sweden. The group tiptoed a distance of more than 2 kilometers between two mountain peaks in Lapland on barefoot. The line they walked on was set at a height of 600 meters. The four members of the team walked the line one after another successfully despite challenges including the wind and the long distance. It took 2 days for the team to rig the line between the two peaks. A distinctive feature, no matter of humans or animals, often catches our attention. You might have heard stories about the big fat cow or other animals you love the most. Here we bring you a story about a cow for her not being big, but for being the smallest. Rani, a 23-month-old cow, is being reared on a farm near the Bangladeshi capital, Dhaka. She is only 20 inches tall and weighs 26 kilograms. Local vets say the little Rani has no physical problems, but will no longer gain any weight or height. The owner believes Rani is shorter than the smallest cow in Guinness World Record. The record for the smallest cow so far held by a 4-year-old red cow named Manikyam from the Indian state of Kerala.
We found on the internet that the smallest known cow is living in India's Kerala, which weighs 40 kilograms.
but ours weighs only 26, so we believe ours is the world's smallest. That's why we applied to the Guinness World Records. They replied to us saying they will investigate within 90 days.
The tiny cow has also caused tourist frenzy in the South Asian country as thousands are flocking to Dhaka to take a glance despite coronavirus restrictions. The owner says only over 15,000 people come to visit her in just 3 days. The dwarf cow has also gone viral on social media. A nearly 22-meter-high sand sculpture in Denmark has set a new Guinness record as the world's tallest sand castle. The sculpture has been constructed with nearly 5 tons of sand. It's made in the shape of a triangle, and a wood structure stabilizes it. More than 30 artists from different countries have worked on the project, carving intricate details on the castle's wall. Its makers say a nod to the coronavirus pandemic was also made at the top of that construction. They say that's because the virus has controlled the lives of people over the past months. The sand piece broke the previous Guinness record that belonged to an 18-meter-high sand castle in Germany. An adorable baby elephant has become a web celebrity after she was caught on camera using a muddy hill as playground slide. Footage shows the little elephant excitedly approaching a hill with a smooth path leading downward. The baby then goes on all fours to have the time of her life sliding on her belly down the hill, taking full advantage of rain. The toddler, named Yishong, is only 3 years old. She lives at a rescue center in China, one of the major habitats for wild Asian elephants in the country.
A French company has taken the process of pizza making to a whole new level by creating a robot chef. The robot named Patsy is completely autonomous. The machine, now working in a pizzeria in Paris, is capable of taking orders, making a pizza from scratch and serving it. Having three arms, the robot can make 120 pizzas in an hour, which is 13 times faster than a human chef.
We are in a very fast process with a perfect control of time and quality, since we have a constancy offered by robotics and then an environment that is quite cool and relaxed. The idea is also to spend a few pleasant minutes washing the robot while you wait for your pizza to be made.
It took designers 8 years to develop the machine, which is claimed to be the first pizza-making robot in the world. They hope to use the technology to open robotics-run restaurants that can function round the clock. In China, scientists are happy that the world's first artificially bred leaf monkey is doing well 2.5 months after being born. The rare monkey was born at a research and protection center in Wuzhou City in April. Its birth took place several days earlier than the due date, and the baby was relatively weak at birth. However, thanks to its parents and caretakers, it has grown in a normal way. Scientists say the baby monkey is now in a good condition and its behavior is totally normal.
It is very important in terms of the cytic value. It has been growing up normally. In addition, we have found that it has a curiosity about the world and always shows some exploratory and learning behaviors. In general, it is in very good physical condition.
The center's scientists say another leaf monkey that was born in April is doing well too. These monkeys are the 8th generation of leaf monkeys that have been bred in captivity. Their successful births have raised hope amongst the scientists of saving a species that is one of China's most endangered wild animals. Imagine the hungriest you've ever been. How many hot dogs could you possibly gobble down in 10 minutes? An American man has done 76. Professional eater Joey Chestnut broke the world record in the International Hot Dog Eating Contest on Brooklyn's Coney Island. The 37-year-old managed to devour the first 30 hot dogs in only 3 minutes. The impressive win marked his 14th victory at the annual contest. He held the previous record, which was only one sausage sandwich, less than his 2021 record. Astronauts at China's space station have successfully carried out the country's first spacewalk. Two astronauts exited the core module of Tiangong to examine the station's robotic arm. They also elevated a panoramic camera and tested new generation spacesuits. The mission lasted 7 hours. According to the China Manned Space Agency, another spacewalk will be conducted soon. In June, three Chinese astronauts blasted off to become the first crew of the Tiangong station. They will remain there for 3 months. Lionel Messi is one of the most popular football players with millions of fans from across the world, but the legendary player enjoys special love and affection in his hometown. Local artists at Rosario relished the chance to honor Messi in a mural on a four-story building. The 14-meter-high and 8-meter-wide giant artwork stands opposite of the school Messi attended in his childhood. The mural depicts him as both an adult and a child. Messi had been the top scorer in European football leagues multiple times. He also received the world's best player award for a record 6 times. The 34-year-old currently holds the Argentinian national team's captaincy. Pangolins might look tough with their scaly armor, but they are in fact highly vulnerable animals. A Vietnamese man is dedicating his time and energy to making sure they are safe. 39-year-old Thai has been protecting pangolins since his boyhood when he saw one brutally hunted by his neighbors. The bitter experience inspired him to find or make a group devoted to saving the endangered species. Save Vietnam's Wildlife has over 60 staff and has so far rescued around 1,600 pangolins. Thai says seeing the rescued animals return to nature is the best part of his job.
The most wonderful moments in the lives of all of the conservationists at my center are the moments that we witness the rescued pangolins getting out from the transportation cages and slowly walking into the forest, because the forest is their true home, where they can have the joy of living their lives in their own way.
Pangolins are one of the most trafficked mammals in the world. Their number have fallen due to illegal trade. The animals, now critically endangered, could once be found in the rainforests across Asia and Africa. They use their sticky tongues to hunt for ants, termites, and similar prey. People around the world have their unique ways of celebrating events. In Nepal, farmers and locals celebrate National Paddy Day by jumping into muddy fields. The festival marks the start of the annual rice planting season. People joyfully sing and play in muddy water. Another popular tradition on this day is eating a mixture of curd and beaten rice with friends and family. The fun event usually draws many tourists from around the world. However, this year, it is limited only to locals due to the coronavirus pandemic. Rice is the most important crop in Nepal and accounts for almost half of the cereal production in the country. The pandemic has not stopped this British musician from holding live concerts. His audience is a very special group in Danish rural areas. Jacob Short, a university professor, is the man behind this experiment. He says playing for the animals has been his second best option after the pandemic forced the cancellation of many events and social gatherings. Short says the performance for the cows has been so rewarding that he wants to continue it even after public spaces are reopened. He says the cows seem to enjoy classical music very much.
They react differently to different pieces. We played something that was slightly more upbeat, a little bit more modern, and a lot of them didn't like it and they went away. And I think that the type of pieces which is closer to their voice, closer to their mooing, which could be similar actually to a cello, which is why it's so successful with them, they prefer that.
The cello player is sometimes accompanied by other musicians. They say the experience has helped them practice and also relieve some of the stress of a live concert.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Well, science fiction has turned into reality, or at least that's how the developer of Aircar describes his vehicle when it transforms from a car into an aircraft in less than 3 minutes. This prototype flying car was designed and created by Slovakian transportation professor Stefan Klein. He says that his design opens a new category in transportation. The dual-mode vehicle composed a 35-minute flight in this week between the two Slovakian airports. So far, it has completed more than 40 hours of test flight. Aircar can fly about 1,000 kilometers at a height of over 2,500 meters. That makes the dream of those who wish to ride above traffic closer to reality. A digital art museum in the Japanese capital has unveiled a stunning exhibition offering visitors an intimate interaction with nature. One of the attractions of the show is Floating Flower Garden, which is a mirrored room filled with 13,000 orchid flowers. The orchids are dangling from the ceiling and move up once a visitor walks through in the space and approaches the flowers. Once the visitors move past, the flowers descend again. This makes the visitors able to freely wander around the three-dimensional flower mass space. Tokyo-based digital art group Team Lab that runs this exhibition says the artwork is designed to help people think that they are part of the garden.
This is an installation filled with these flowers. As you walk towards them, the flowers slowly move up to create an area of space for you. Surrounded so completely by flowers, you feel immersed in the flowers, the garden itself.
There are several other installations in this exhibition. One is an outdoor piece filled with Ovid sculptures that light up after the sun sets. Visitors can see 61 different colors of light in this section. When one of the Ovids tipped over by a hand or the wind, it emits a sound. The sound is then echoed by the surrounding Ovids.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam and peace of Allah be upon all of you. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to this episode under the title of A Happy Marriage. Today, Saturday, is the 29th of Zilqa'da, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we go for listening to the Holy Quran and we choose Surah Ar-Rum, verse 21.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa min ayatihi an khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwajan litaskunu ilayha wa ja'ala baynakum mawaddatan wa rahmah inna fi dhalika laayatin liqaumin yatafakkarun.
And of his signs is that he created for you from yourselves mates that you may find tranquility in them. And he placed between you affection and mercy. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who give thought.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
A spouse must be the cause of peace, not the cause of agitation and anxiety. The aim of marriage is not often only satisfying the sexual instinct, but the aim is mostly reaching to a spiritual and bodily tranquility. Verily, the existence of spouses with this special quality, which is the cause of tranquility of their lives, is counted one of the great bounties of Allah, because these two genders are complementary of each other and each generally causes the mirth, fruitfulness, and development of the other, so that every one of them is imperfect without the other.
Just the words of Allah, mercy and kindness and hope for everyone. Peace be upon you, O Muhammad.
Marriage in a nutshell is the topic of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Marriage at its best is a source of peace, strength, and security to the couple. It is from the foundation of love that children are brought into this world. The family unit provides a cushion to each other from the harshness of the outside world. It covers each other's faults, it protects, it cherishes and loves, gives confidence and self-esteem. Unfortunately, this ideal doesn't come ready-made. It has to be achieved through hard work by both parents in a marriage, starting from before the couple even get married. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with felicitous and successful marriage in Islam. There's a piece of hadith related from the sixth infallible Imam, Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. In that, it's indicated that once Abu Basir, who was a close companion of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, sought guidance from him, from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, in that what should one do when he wants to get married. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam indicated that once someone wants to get married, it's highly recommended for the person to perform two rakat salat and supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, together with praising him, that is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an appropriate wife, spouse, who would safeguard, who would enable him to safeguard his religion, his properties, and would beget, fine children. At the same time, we find that it's indicated that regarding the qualifications or qualities of an appropriate wife, it's indicated that, for example, apparent beauty, being good-tempered, chastity, and the quality of preserving a husband's properties, and being suitable for one's life are amongst the yardsticks and characteristics that every suitable wife should have, every suitable lady should have, in order to make a good wife for a believer.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life.
Now we go for learning about habits of happy Muslim couples. They are grateful for each other. That is one point. If there is one fundamental need that exists in every single human relationship, it is the need to feel relevant and appreciated. And there is no other relationship where this need is as grossly overlooked and abused as in marriage. Why does this happen? Is it because humans tend to take things for granted, especially when they are done by those closest to them? When you're newly married, even single thing your spouse does for you feels so special. As time goes by, your husband going out to work hard and earn for the family becomes normal, and a few years later, it becomes his duty anyway. Similarly, every meal your new bride cooks is delightful. Then somehow the salt always seems to keep getting lesser, till eventually she's not doing anyone a favor by just doing her job. Happy Muslim couples live and breathe this hadith, this tradition, in their marriage. The tradition says, "He who does not thank the people is not thankful to Allah." Fundamentals of a Happy Marriage is on today's special from IRIB English Radio. One of the fundamentals of a happy marriage is faith. The most basic and essential attribute of a Muslim marriage is the common faith that binds the couple. Since Islam is a way of life and not just a religion, confined to weekly worship, it becomes an integral part of a Muslim's life. The frame of reference shared by the couple eases communication and sharing of values, which is not possible in an interfaith marriage. It is highly recommended that faith play an important role in developing a loving relationship. For example, as the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny said that when a husband feeds his wife, he gets a reward for this act and Allah increases the bond of love between them. So when we love each other for the sake of Allah, we actually increase our faith.
Niyya means my intention to know what I'm doing. So the niyya is the most important and essential part of any act of worship. Let's say you stand and you pray 100 rak'ah without a niyya. You don't know what you're doing. You just say Allahu Akbar, you pray, ruku', sujood, but there's no niyya. You're just doing it for the fun. It doesn't count. Same goes for marriage. I have to have the niyyah. Some people get into marriage and they don't know what's going on. They don't know why they're doing it. And that is why 70%, 60% of marriages end up in a divorce. The first and foremost is intellectual intimacy. The idea is conversing with the family members. Scholars of human behavior suggest that people that we work with tend to know us more than individuals whom we live with. Second level of intimacy is emotional intimacy. What is it that makes us happy? What is it that makes us sad? What is it that makes us angry? What is it that disappoints me? What is it that encourages me? Then comes the spiritual intimacy, especially for the Muslim families, where we spend some time together during the 24 hours, possibly praying together, supplicating together, going to Hajj together, going to Umrah together, going to a ziyarah trip together. All those are part of the spiritual experience. Then comes what? The social intimacy. And I get married, and I'm leading the same social life that I had. I have certain friends, I have certain circle of friends, I go out with certain people, I hang out with certain people. And my significant other doesn't appreciate, for example, half of my social life. Those are things that are important. They truly create problems. And then comes the physical intimacy. If you do this, there's automatically going to be mawaddah and rahmah. What is mawaddah and what is rahmah? Mawaddah is when we illustrate and we demonstrate our love. There's automatically going to be mercy and compassion within the family.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran.
That was all for today's special. So we'll continue this topic, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Until then, believe you under Allah's protection.
يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا رب
شكرا يا رب
يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up.